You are now listening to Voices of the West Side with your host, John Easter. Today's guests, some guys or something, I don't know.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to Voices of the West Side on Indy's Giant 90.9. I am John Easter. You are not John Easter.
No, I'm not.
You are Kieran Sandulo. Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you?
Alive.
Yeah, well, that's good.
Breathing.
That's, you know, that is probably the number one goal of every day for a human being.
Yes. Which is really weird when some days it's not immediately achieved.
Well,
which is, it's a little strange waking up and being like, oh, my lungs aren't working. Oh,
that's not good.
Yeah.
No.
There's nothing wrong with me. I just forget to breathe during the night sometimes.
Oh, well, I have that too. You might want to get that checked out because I have a machine for that that makes funny lines on my face.
I live.
Well, that's good.
I survive.
That's good. But it is a beautiful Friday morning out there. Last night, of course, we had the lunar eclipse. I don't know if anybody got a chance to get out and
the
see that.
Moon, yeah.
It was, I noticed how bright the moon was, and so I looked out the window before I went to bed, and the eclipse had not yet started.
Mm-hmm.
I know it started like about 1:30-something last night,
yeah.
And I was not awake for that.
Bright red.
Did you see it?
I peeked out my window just because I didn't sleep.
Right.
But I did see it. It was cool.
Yeah. Yeah, that's pretty cool when you get things like that. Of course, we're coming up, I think it was April 8th on the one-year anniversary of the solar eclipse.
Yeah.
That was freaky.
Mm-hmm.
That was really freaky. That was a weird day, and everybody's out of school, and a bunch of traffic, people coming in to watch the thing because we were right in the path of totality, and it's hard to believe that's been a year ago.
Yeah.
But I remember just sitting there and looking up at that thing. And,
yeah.
That's like one of those moments you're like, yeah, there's a lot of bigger things out there in the world than little old me.
Yeah. You know, it was very cool to watch.
Realize the moon has a shadow.
Yeah.
Or the sun, you know, Earth casting a shadow on the moon.
Mm-hmm.
That's cool.
Yeah. There was some sick stuff.
I know Neil deGrasse Tyson. I don't know if you follow him at all on social media.
I've stopped listening to Neil deGrasse Tyson. Not because I don't believe anything he says. It's just because he's irritating and I don't like him that much.
Well, he had a thing out for the flat earth people where he showed like the moon and it had like a line through the moon.
Mm.
He's like, to the flat earthers, if the lunar eclipse looks like this, alert the authorities. And it was like, you know, just a line through the moon instead of like the whole thing being covered by.
Yeah.
Yeah. I thought that was funny.
Yeah, that was funny.
That was expert troll, literally.
Yeah.
Because he's an expert.
I just don't like Neil deGrasse Tyson because he killed Pluto, and I don't like that.
Oh, you're still bitter about that.
Of course I'm bitter about that. I love Pluto.
Poor Pluto.
It's definitely it's a planet.
Well, I believe it's technically now a sub-planet.
Oh.
And there is a definition.
It's a definition that he made up.
It's like basically a chunk of ice, and it doesn't have a normal orbit.
He made that term up specifically for Pluto.
I'm not
going to
argue with
really
you.
Funny.
I'm not going to argue with you. I advocate for Pluto too.
Yeah.
I learned there were 9 planets in this solar system.
Yeah,
it's like
you cannot convince me otherwise.
And the planet with a funny name, its anniversary of its discovery was 85 years ago. I think it was yesterday.
Which planet?
Uranus.
Yeah.
Which, if you mispronounce it, is a funny name.
Yeah. It is funny.
We could. I'm already starting to do the Beavis and Butthead laughter on this. So I'm just going to leave that one alone.
Move on.
Yeah, we're moving on. We have a great show for you today. I think it's going to be a great show.
We'll find out.
Kind of take a look back. We don't have a guest this morning except us.
Yeah, some guys.
So we're going to take a look back at some things that have happened and then talk about severe weather awareness, which could be something we're thinking about. If you're listening to this live on Friday morning and you're listening to the replay on Sunday, you already know what happened, but there could be some severe weather overnight tonight, which is always a little scary. So we'll talk about that and whatever else we get into. But that first thing we want to highlight this morning, besides our witty banner, is that thing we call the Big Board. Man, yeah, good job pushing the button.
On the big board today, we have no basketball.
Yeah, basketball unfortunately lost in double overtime to Brownsburg last week, 52-49. So the Giants will not be going to state for a third straight year, unfortunately. But congratulations to the team on a great year. They finished up 17-9, which isn't bad. So congratulations to them. And if we haven't said it, congratulations to the Ben Davis girls as well for being much improved this year. They won six games 2 years ago now. Then last year, this year, they won 12. So they're moving in the right direction. And they return everybody next year. Yeah. So
should be on the 15th, on Saturday, we have the Ben Davis Dance Marathon at the Ben Davis MPA.
Yes, and that's coming up tomorrow. Big event, 6 to 9?
I believe so.
I think was the time.
I believe so.
So they've been still continuing to do events and raise money, and teachers have been, you know, threatened with pies in the face.
Has anyone actually been pied in the face?
I don't think that's happened yet, but I do believe that there is some fundraiser going on that teachers could get pied in the face, but the money goes, of course, to benefit the dance marathon.
We had a thing at Avon a while ago where we had like that fundraiser, that big assembly in the gym where we got to throw pies in the teachers' faces. One kid got called down because he won the drawing to pie a teacher's face, and he ended up in with in-school suspension because he hit a little too hard.
Oh, no. I've always wondered about that.
So he, the teacher that he got, just he did not like at all.
Oh, geez.
And the teacher didn't know that.
Right.
So he, this was like my freshman year, but he grabbed the, like the Boston cream pie off of the table, walked over to the teacher, and like full force slammed it into the teacher's face.
Ooh.
He got in school suspension. I think the teacher got a busted nose.
Well, but let's hope that doesn't happen here.
Yeah. Yeah, it probably won't.
Yeah.
Because everybody else after that guy had to actually throw the pie instead of just slam it into the face.
Yeah. I've always wondered about that. I know I see the Colts mascot Blue does that to people.
Oh, yeah.
That's his shtick.
Yeah,
so
it's a fun shtick.
What else is up there?
Well, I'll tell you. We got spring break starting March 22nd. That's next week to April 6th.
A week from today will be the last day before spring break.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
So no school for 2 weeks.
Yeah.
And then, of course, last but not least, the WBDG 59 Marathon is May 2nd and May 3rd. 40 hours of live or of on-air time for
craziness.
All of us here at the station.
Mm-hmm.
And we are still looking for funds.
Yeah, $650 raised so far. We're trying to raise $2,500, so we have $1,850 to go, which is a good start.
Yeah.
I mean, there have been some years we've gotten to spring break and we haven't had anything in the kitty.
Yeah.
So the kitty's been mad over that. You know, it's not happy. I mean, it's got money in it. Might as well have some of it. But anyway, we have $650. Right now raised, so that's what we have. And if you want to help us out, we'll be follow us on social media. That's probably the easiest way to find out information at WBDG Indy, or you can follow us on TikTok at Giant 90.9, because TikTok is still there
somehow.
I was able to re-download TikTok. It gave me a QR code, and they figured out a way around the app stores and everything. So TikTok's still hanging in there. We are at Giant 909 there, but we're at WBDG Indy everywhere else.
Yeah, so if you want to help out with the marathon or anything like that, go on.
I just heard a weird sound somewhere in the station.
There are a lot of weird sounds here in the station.
And ladies and gentlemen, that is the thing we call the Big Board. All right. So kind of getting down to business a little bit here this morning. As we kind of take a look back, first of all, I'm just saying first of all. That's all I'm going to do for the next 20 minutes, is just say first of all.
Mm.
So
that's the whole show.
Yes. Prepare. It'll just be the first of all show on Voices of the West Side. But first of all, the 35th anniversary of a very momentous Ben Davis basketball game just happened March 11th. Mm-hmm. It was the anniversary of the Indianapolis Regional in 1995 when Ben Davis defeated the Washington Continentals 79-77 at Hinkle Fieldhouse. I was there with my mother. I had graduated. I was 2 years into college. I was there with my mom. Mr. Goins was there working for Channel 8, I believe, at the time.
What year was this?
This would have been 1995.
Okay, I just wanted to say.
So you were negative.
Well, you said the 35th anniversary.
That's 35 years.
35 plus 95.
30 years. 30 years.
Yeah, I was going to say
35
plus 95.
I can't do math. I teach radio, Kieran. I mean, it's not the best and the brightest. Good catch. 30 years since, I'm trying to make it longer ago. It
took me a minute to register.
Yeah, that's all right. You caught me. I appreciate that. I was just trying to see if y'all were paying attention.
Yes.
But anyway, that anniversary happened. What some people believe to be one of the greatest high school basketball games ever played. There was so much that went into it because the teams knew each other really well. The Washington High School was closing at the end of that school year. It's since reopened in a community school fashion. Now it's back to being a traditional high school. But it was a momentous game because Ben Davis and Washington for years had been rivals. Both schools, purple and white. Both schools were kind of the west side place to be and place to go back then throughout the 70s, the 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s. And, my father actually is a Washington High School grad. So kind of the story, it's kind of like Ben Davis and Avon now.
Yeah.
Many of the Ben Davis grads of my era have kids that went to Avon now or Brownsburg or somewhere further west. So it was kind of that way. My dad was a Washington grad. My aunt is a Washington grad. My uncle's a Washington. You know, everybody.
That's how my family is with Vincennes.
Yeah.
Because my mom and my dad both went to Vincennes. My mom's parents both went to Vincennes. It's just a whole thing. And now I'm going to Vincennes.
Yeah. So, you know, it's kind of like a West Side thing. And for those two teams to meet in the regional with Washington, I think they were 27-2 or something like that. Ben Davis was had lost one game. Both teams are like 1-2 in the state or 1-3 in the state. But then after the game, the Ben Davis team, which won the game, actually went in the locker room, into Washington's locker room, and consoled the players. And this was an article the Indianapolis Star wrote. Nobody knew about this story. Ben Davis coach Steve Whitty didn't even really know the story that his players went into the locker room until after it happened. So it was kind of spontaneously planned. The Indianapolis Star article, which talks about that, quoted the Washington athletic director, Gene Robertson, who my dad was good friends with. Mr. Robbie passed away a couple of years ago, but he was Mr. Washington. I mean, he was George Washington through and through. And Robbie was like, well, you know, here's the team coming in. I thought they were going to have like an altercation, but he's like, no, they consoled each other and they just sat there and they didn't say a word. It's really a touching story. If you want to Google it, do so. It's the Indianapolis Star article. I think it's from maybe a couple of years ago when it was the 25th anniversary of that game, which is not 10 years ago. It's only 5 years ago. If you were just joining us, I made a math error and Kieran caught me. But that happened this week. And it pops up on my Facebook memories every once in a while, and it reminds me of that game, which was one of the last second three-pointer by Ahmed Bellamy. Unfortunately, we don't have the call any longer. I don't know what happened to that call, WBDG's call of that game. It sure would be nice to have that call, so if anybody's got it out there, we'd love to have it. But that happened March 11th, 1995, and it's hard to believe that's been 35 years ago. Okay, 30 years ago. Wow. And, of course, this week, I'm not going to beat a dead horse on this too much, but March 12th, 2020, which is 25 years ago, it seems like, but it's actually 5 years ago, Marion County Schools closed during the pandemic.
Hendricks, too.
Yeah. But it, specifically for us, it was March 12th. I think Avon closed maybe a couple of days before.
Because
they had a case that had developed in one of the elementaries.
We had four kids that went out at the elementary school.
I was
in middle school.
Scary time, you know, really, because we didn't understand anything about what was happening. But the Avon superintendent at the time was quoted in this story. Hornerman.
Yeah.
The Avon
the superintendent.
Superintendent. She's still the superintendent?
I think it's a different guy now.
Yeah, I think she left. But anyway, she said, we thought we'd be out until like spring break and then we'd be back. And that's not what happened. We were just out. And then in Marion County, the date was March 12th. So yesterday was the 5-year anniversary, 2 days ago. Was the 5-year anniversary. Dr. Butts is actually quoted in this article in the Indianapolis Star. Again, that's where I'm getting this information from. It is a story by Erica Heron and MJ Slaby. We'll get them their credit because they wrote this very long and in-depth article on kind of the way things happen. But Joe Hogsett, the mayor of Indianapolis, announced that all schools would be closed in Marion County and it would be for the foreseeable future. First, I believe it was 2 weeks, and then it, of course, ended up being until August because we actually came back a couple weeks later than we normally would. Thursday, March 12th, 2020, at 5:15, Joe Hogsett announced that Marion County schools would be closed. This is, of course, back in 2020, and that it was immediate. That was the big thing. And, of course, we didn't come back until
August.
And it was weird for me because at the time, if you're a fan of Dr. Butts' podcast, Briefings with Butts, kind of the forerunner of that show was The Drive at 5 with Dr. Jeff Butts. And every Friday we would post on our Audio Boom site and also actually play it on the air. We would play a podcast from Dr. Butts, which he had done on his phone. And because, you know, we weren't we weren't equipped for it at the time, but he did that on his phone and sent it to me, and we posted it. And that was my way to get back in the building. So that was the end of May. So pretty much from March until May, nobody was here. The only person who had access was Brad Perdue, because you know, you technically have to have somebody who has access to this. He's our maintenance engineer, and he was the only person who could get in here and do anything. So the station continued to operate. We continued to play music. We had a bunch of things rotating about the COVID closure and everything else, and then every Friday we would do that short podcast with Dr. Butts on the latest updates and things. So that was kind of what happened with WBDG for several months. Then we came back in the fall, and you know, that's a whole different experience. But 5 years ago is when the world stopped this week.
Yeah,
it was crazy, and everything just kind of happened so fast. It was kind of like if they would have said, aliens have landed in Utah, I would have been like, yeah, okay.
Yeah. It's just like that period of time was very interesting because there were so many different things happening at once. And it was just like, yeah, okay. Even middle school Kai was picking up on the like, well, that seems like a little much to have right now.
Yeah. It was a weird period of time, and you know, now things are popping up again on social media, my memories and Facebook memories. And it's like, hey, you know, I would just post on our social media. WBDG students, please check itslearning.com for your assignments this week. You know, it was because we went all virtual, and it was wild. But we did make it through, and we're back. And unfortunately, some people are not. And you know, they lost their fight with COVID. COVID still, by the way, still kills over 1,000 people every week.
Yeah.
And we don't hear so much about it, but there still are people dying of COVID, just like the flu and other things. And thankfully we've, you know, come farther than we did early on when the virus was brand new to us. But certainly want to think about that this week, as it is the 5-year anniversary, not a pleasant one, mm-hmm. of the COVID shutdown. So, let's get back to some other things here. I want to talk about severe weather because it is Severe Weather Awareness Week.
Yes.
Which is a tongue twister. You say that 10 times fast.
Severe Weather Awareness Week?
Yeah. Eventually you mess it up.
Eventually I'll mess it up.
It is Severe Weather Awareness Week. And today at 11 a.m., this is Friday again, if you're listening live. If you're listening on Sunday, this doesn't make any sense. But today at 11 a.m., they will be testing the outdoor alert sirens, because they did not fire during the tornado test on Tuesday. So they are going to go back in Marion County and run those. So if you hear that at 11 o'clock and you're like, why is it sunny? It's sunny out. What the heck? That's what it is. They're trying to test the tornado sirens, which are, by the way, not supposed to be your number one. Those are only supposed to be outdoor alert sirens.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're like, I didn't hear the tornado sirens because I was indoors. That's why. They're not supposed to alert you indoors. I live, as the crow flies, probably, I don't know, 1,000 feet from one.
Mm-hmm.
So I hear it in my house when those go off. But, so they're not designed. I think they're designed to go like 2 miles.
Yep.
You're supposed to be able to hear them over 2 miles. But those are just designed to alert you if you're outside. And some counties, although have gone away from this practice more, but some counties, if you're under a tornado watch and a severe thunderstorm warning, they will set off the sirens just so that you're aware. Marion County used to do that. They don't as a rule anymore, but it is up to each county's emergency management when you set those sirens off.
Mm.
So the big thing is you don't want to be setting them off just all the time, because then people will ignore them.
Yep.
Be like, oh, well, yeah, they set off the sirens and, you know, here we go. But it's... you want to take alert, and if you hear the sirens when it's not bright and sunny and beautiful outside, you probably want to check your phone or check the media and kind of find out, oh, what's going on. But I just have some severe weather awareness information because it is Severe Weather Awareness Week from the National Weather Service, and you know they've been in the news lately for the wrong reasons with everything, but I know that they do such a tremendous job and they provide such great... you talk about, oh, I've got a free weather app.
Mm.
You know where the information comes from?
The Weather Service. The
National Weather Service. They provide all of that information for free. Yeah. The National Hurricane Center does what it does for free. So that tells you right there. The information that goes into your phone's weather app comes from the National Weather Service. And so when you see like the storm chasers that are out chasing these storms, they get their information from the National Weather Service. So, you know, NOAA does such great things. They have NOAA Weather Radio, all of these things. We don't get political on this show, but it's just important to realize what the National Weather Service does. But anyway, so this is Severe Weather Awareness Week. Of course, some of these things we take for granted, but there are people out there that don't understand the difference between, let's say, a watch and a warning.
Yeah.
So, you know, severe thunderstorm watch means just that.
Just watch out.
That's right. You could have severe weather in your area.
Or you could not.
You could not. More than likely, if they've issued a watch, you're going to have somewhere in your area some sort of weather coming your way. It may fall apart before it hits your house.
Yeah.
In that case, good.
And then a warning.
Right.
A warning is it is going to happen.
A warning means that either those conditions have been observed by a train spotter, law enforcement, ham radio operators, which are very important. Or that means that the radar says, you know what? There could be a problem here.
Yep.
We're detecting winds of above 58 miles an hour. This is a severe thunderstorm warning. And that's when they issue a severe thunderstorm warning, is for that purpose. And of course, you'll always have flash flood warnings, which are things you want to take seriously. I don't know if you understand just how many people die each year from floods, because people, you know, the thunder and the lightning and the tornadoes get the attention, but floods really are the killers. Because as the National Weather Service says here, people underestimate the force and the power of water. Many deaths occur in cars that are swept downstream. Many of these drownings are preventable. Never drive around barriers blocking a flooded road. Never drive through flooded waters, especially at night. You can't tell how deep that flood might be. So your car could get swept away in just 6 inches of water.
Mm-hmm.
So your car, and we see it all the time. You see like people testing and trying flood waters. It is dumb, ladies and gentlemen. Just turn around and find another way. 2 feet of rushing water can carry away most SUVs and trucks.
Mm-hmm.
So just never, ever, ever, ever drive through flooded waters. We talked a little bit about tornadoes, which are possible tonight if you're in Indianapolis and mostly west. It looks like Vincennes looks like they're right in the area that the Indianapolis, that the National Weather Service, the National Storm Prediction Center calls the enhanced area for severe weather.
Mm-hmm.
We are in the slight risk in Marion County, but that could change.
Mm-hmm.
As these things move, they sometimes move these zones around, so don't get in love with the zone.
Yep.
But the if there's a tornado watch issue tonight, again, just watch.
Yep.
It's like I've seen this meme go around on social media. A lot of times meteorologists will post it that if it's like a taco watch, you just have like the ingredients. So you have like the meat, the tomatoes, mm-hmm. the lettuce, the sour cream. All that's just laying out. And if you actually have a taco warning, you have the taco together.
Yeah.
And that's a good way to look at this. So if you've just gone to the grocery and bought the goods, that, you know, you could have tacos that night. So tornado watch means that the conditions are there. The ingredients are there in the atmosphere for a tornado. A tornado warning means,
oh,
yeah,
a taco.
Yeah, we've got a problem. And again, this is the National Weather Service people looking at the radar saying, yeah, there's that looks concerning there. We're seeing some rotation in that storm. And yeah, we maybe see some debris, something like that getting picked up. We're going to issue a tornado warning. That's one way they do it. Or, again, there could be a police officer out. There could be a train weather spotter that sees it in the house. There could be any number of reasons why, but a tornado warning is issued. That's when you want to make sure you get in the lowest part of your house. If you've got an interior room, some people do and are now putting in tornado-proof rooms in their homes, which are expensive to do, but in a state like Oklahoma or Kansas or something like that,
necessary.
It's extremely necessary because you get the really big tornadoes. Did a little research last night on tornadoes in Indiana. The record is 72 tornadoes in a single year,
mm-hmm.
in a single month, 44. That comes from June of 90. In a single day, 37 tornadoes on June 2nd, 1990. Indiana averages 22 tornadoes per year. And in Marion County, since 1950, we've had 47 tornadoes, including an F4 tornado, which went through pretty much kind of the east side of Indianapolis back in 1972. So those tornadoes are still possible here in Marion County. Of course, they do the tornado, they do the EF rating is a little different now. Back then it was F3. Now it is EF3. They've kind of done some science and research. So those are the strong tornadoes, EF2 and EF3. Most tornadoes, 60 to 70% of tornadoes are EF0, EF1. These are the weakest of the tornadoes, but they could still do some damage. Yes, because an EF0 tornado produces winds 65 to 85 miles an hour. That can knock off your roof. That can do some other crazy things. And the way they measure tornadoes is kind of morbid, but it's by what it destroys.
Mm-hmm.
So you could have an EF5 tornado that's out in the middle of a field somewhere, and it doesn't do anything to anybody, and that is rated as an EF0. So just so you know, the only way that they know what a tornado did is if it hit something.
Yep.
And you don't want that. So EF0, EF1 are the weak tornadoes. Strong tornadoes, EF2 and EF3, are about 35%. The violent tornadoes, the big ones you see, the EF4 and EF5, only about 2% or so reach that intensity. But I'm going to tell you what, if you have an EF3 tornado that hits your house, you're not going to have a good day. So you want to make sure that you are in that lowest part of your house. And, you know, don't do the Indiana thing or the Florida thing or whatever, where you see the tornado and you run to the window, get your phone.
Yeah.
Don't do that.
Don't.
Just don't do that.
Go to the basement, wait it out.
Now, those are mesmerizing videos.
Yeah.
And it's kind of counterintuitive that something that can appear far away, so beautiful and so awe-inspiring, can be so deadly and
yes.
dangerous. But another tip of the trick of the trade, so to speak, if you don't see a tornado moving and it's just getting bigger,
it's coming
directly towards you. If you see a tornado moving away from you or, you know, to your side, you still don't want to hang around because they can change directions
mm-hmm.
very quickly. If you want to see a really freaky tornado, Google the El Reno tornado.
Yeah.
That tornado, one of the biggest, it was 2 miles in diameter, all yeah. sorts of nasty multiple vortices, and it killed, 3 storm chasers? And those are the people yeah. that understand really how those storms move. So mm-hmm. it fooled storm chasers. And,
yeah.
You know, these things can happen, especially when the tornadoes get really big. So just make sure that you take all the precautions. Don't try to outrun a tornado in your car. They can move up to 70 miles an hour. If you think about how fast 70 miles an hour is, that's your car on the street. Sometimes you can't get away if there's, you know, other debris been knocked down, something happens. So the best thing to do is be inside a sturdy structure. Don't stay in your mobile home. Get out of that. Mobile homes become very mobile during tornadoes.
Yes.
Get out of your mobile homes. Get out if you've got a house that isn't really strongly constructed, you might want to think about going and getting down into a ditch or something like that, because that's the only way you're going to survive sometimes yeah. is to be underground, especially in the very big tornadoes. You don't want to be on the second story of your house. You don't want to do any of those things. If you're in a school, you don't want to be in the gym or the cafeteria, any place with a large freestanding ceiling. You want yep. to get out of there. You want to get off the second floor again. You know, schools are very well built.
Yeah.
And a lot of times in these communities, the things that survive are the churches and the schools, because they're the things that are built well with masonry and withstand. Yeah. My house, if it ever gets hit by a strong tornado, is going to be in Perry Township. I live in Decatur.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be in Perry Township.
It'll be gone.
There's just going to be a nice concrete slab where it was, and that's going to be it. So I know that. I know that my house is dangerous to be in. So if I see tornado warnings are coming, sometimes I will come to Ben Davis High School because yeah. I know it is a sturdy structure. So, of course, to the general public, you can't necessarily come to a place and just walk in.
Yeah.
So just be on the lookout, be alert, and, you know, just get to the safest part of your house, bathtub, put pillows, and if you have a helmet, like a bicycle helmet, anything like that, you want to put that over your head so that you're not injured
yeah.
by the debris, and just wait until it passes.
Yep.
Because most of these things go by in seconds.
Yep.
So, but you know, the good thing about these violent tornadoes, a lot of times they track over long distances. So like the tri-state tornado,
yep.
which happened about 100 years ago now, went over 3 states.
Yeah.
So these things track over long distances. Definitely it's a good time to follow social media, follow meteorologists, follow the National Weather Service. It's a good time to watch.
Pay attention.
Yep. To watch, be ready, have your phones charged. Make sure you have an emergency kit. Make sure that includes things like medicine and your important documents and all of those things, all good things. Last thing I want to talk about, I know we're over, but the last thing I want to talk about is lightning as well. You know, thunder gets all the the notice because you hear the thunder.
Yep.
The thunder can't hurt you. It's the lightning that you want to worry about. And last year, 11 people were killed in the United States by lightning strikes. So if you look, they were doing a variety of different things. Some people were out on a river. Some people were under a tree. These are things you don't want to do if you see lightning. And when you hear thunder, get inside. Because if you hear thunder, that means there's lightning around. So there are so many things now that you can download on your phone, lightning detectors, things like that that will tell you when the lightning's coming. Just make sure you stay safe. And again, when thunder roars, go indoors.
My grandpa got hit by lightning one time.
There you go.
He lived.
And a lot of people do live because the lightning doesn't hit them directly. It may hit around them.
No, no, it hit him like right on.
Well, yeah, and some people do survive lightning strikes. But lightning is electric current. And if you think about what happens to the body when electric current goes through it, we're mostly water. People don't understand.
We're conductive.
Lightning is looking for us. My house has been struck by lightning before. Not my current house, but that was scary.
It's loud, too.
Oh, my gosh.
Closer it is to you, the louder it is.
And it blew out every electrical outlet in one room where it hit. Every one of those electrical outlets was on the floor. And it shook the ceiling of that room so much that the nails were hanging out of the studs in the ceiling. So it was like $2,700 worth of damage in 1999 to that room. Took the hit right. It was the there was a room over my garage. It was like a bedroom, and it hit right there on the top of the dormer, and it just it was scary. And there was a little fire up there. It was raining though, and put the fire out. That's what the fire department said. But
there you go.
They had to redo the roof. I mean, it was a scary time. So just make sure that. But we were safe because we were indoors. So make sure that you're indoors when you hear thunder. All right. Well, that is kind of what we wanted to cover today on Voices of the West Side. Anything else, Karen, for the good of the cause?
Comic-Con is this weekend.
Yeah, that's
I'm
right.
I'm going there. If you look, you may find me. I will not talk to you, but I might be there.
Well, and it should be that should be a lot of fun. Also, downtown today. On Friday, if you're listening,
St.
Patty's Day Parade is downtown.
And wear green.
Yeah, make sure you wear green Monday.
I don't pinch, I punch violently.
Okay, I will make sure I wear my green Monday so I don't get punched.
There you go.
There you go. Anything else?
Don't drink and drive.
Well, as always, I think that's going to do it for Voices of the West Side.
To the parents and to the teachers, our students have so much to give. You must teach them to be investors in themselves and their communities. What you give out is what you're going to be given back. And students, remember, your future is in the hands of the ones you hang with. It's okay to be a copycat, just copy the right cat. Don't get caught with the wrong crowd. And as always, the views expressed on Voices of the West Side are not necessarily the views of the MSD of Wayne Township, Ben Davis High School, or WBDG. From all of us here at Voices of the West Side, we'll see you on down the road. Make sure to join us next time. I'm John Easter, over and out. Have a great weekend.